You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Penny Black went to South by Southwest this year and met Hazel Savage, who's a musical tech veteran working on artificial intelligence and all sorts of things. She worked on Shazam back before anyone even knew what it was. It was even a thing. And now she's working on a new AI app called Musio. And Leland got all excited about it and interviewed her about it. And here's part two of the interview that we played a wee bit of yesterday.
Okay, a number of things come up for me with this. It sounds brilliant, efficient, needed, possibly all of these things to deal with the mass amount of awesome music coming out, and also perhaps not so awesome. First, I guess I'll deal with that. How are you guys writing a code that isn't entirely, you know, discriminatory? If you're not necessarily in terms of race or anything, but in terms of a specific taste, are you allowing for lots of different types of music to be then categorized and then dealt with?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a really great question. And one of the things we discovered pretty early on when building the AI is that it can only learn what you tell it, and it can only learn, the quality of the output from an AI is only as good as the quality of the input. That's just true across the board. So what we actually do, and one of the most important things about building something like this, is when you build an AI, the training data that you use to train it. And so, luckily for us, music's been around for so long, and there are so many different genres, and there are so many different, types of artists, that it's really easy for us to be able to feed the AI with enough content for it to be able to then look at new stuff that's coming out in the world and make smart decisions. So if there's already, if you look at a record label's catalogue and you see the amazing songs they've put out, say you were looking for, this is a hypothetical example, but say you were looking for a great R&B singer, and you'd already, trained your AI to listen to Beyonce and Rihanna and Nicki Minaj and loads of other great artists, it would then be able to look for similar characteristics in a new song. But of course, it's important to segment by genre. It's important to segment by language. These are things that as we build and as we get more complex, it's all about how you narrow it down, we can sort of pick apart anything that's sort of very sort of low quality recording, or possibly even just, if you get like a mass of songs, like 200,000 songs from SoundCloud, a lot of them are spoken word or podcasts. It's really easy to dismiss that stuff as not music initially. But how you get down to the granular filter, often that's up to the customer. So the person who comes to us and says, I'm such and such label and I specialize in X type of music in this genre, can it be tweaked to just like the stuff that I like? And it can. If you already have a set of songs that you like, a bunch of music that you like, we can tweak it. And we can also give the AI parameters on how experimental we would like it to be. Do you want something that very, very narrowly fits your taste, or would you like us to be a little bit more experimental and out there in terms of what we give you back? So there's a lot of different settings, and often it's quite customizable to the individual. And I think as well, another great example, we've actually just started a partnership with the FMA, which is the Free Music Archive, which is an online database of 100,000 songs that are available for download, for listening, for research, for experimentation. It's based out of the US, based out of New York, I think. And essentially, we just built our first AI-generated playlist using their data. And I think what's interesting is I listened to, I think, about 1,000 songs from their data set, and it took me about 2 weeks to listen to 1,000 songs. To really listen to them and judge them on certain characteristics. And, I think when it came down to it, my personal taste, at the end of those 2 weeks, I think there was probably less than 10 songs that I was like, ooh, I really like this song. So, about 9 out of 1,000 songs, I'd actually gone, yes, I like this artist. I feel like I've discovered something. So then what we did was we actually took one of those songs, which actually happens to be a live Kurt Vile recording that he'd done at the radio station WFMU. And basically we fed that back into the AI and said, you know, Hazel likes this song. And the AI then pulled out from the entire database a playlist of 10 songs. And the quality was just astounding. Like, you know, I was already like, wow, this AI can do this better than I can. I mean, it took it maybe 5 seconds. It took it maybe 5 seconds to actually do it. But it took me 2 weeks to listen to 1,000. It pulled a playlist out in 5 seconds. But also the element of discovery, like it pulled out this other artist called Julie Byrne, who I'd never heard of before, and just has the most amazing, beautiful voice. And I'm a little bit disappointed. She actually toured Singapore in February. I totally missed her. But you know, just, you know, the fact that it can do it so quickly and it can do it to such a high level of accuracy, you know, it's really that time saving that's been what's impressed me, you know, as someone who listens to a lot of music.
On that note of discovering new artists, is this platform, you know, are you targeting users worldwide, your everyday person that can use this just to listen to music, or is it more for production companies?
Yeah, it's currently B2B, so we currently partner exclusively with other companies in the music industry. I mean, that's an interesting question, because I think a few people have asked that. I mean, the technology technically is capable of us building it into an open platform that would allow people to, you know, upload one of their own songs and find people who are similar to it. You know, that's possible, but in terms of, you know, being commercially viable, the most amount of interest we've had is from the music industry in terms of the record labels and, you know, pretty much anyone with a large catalogue of music that they would need support through. So, you know, as a relatively new company, you know, we only founded in January this year, we're sort of focused on the B2B side of things first. But I think what's exciting is the potential, the many ways that you could actually use this technology if you wanted to build it that way.
And that's the thing, is that, I mean, I was listening to you talk about using it the way that, you know, I could possibly just use it as an app to find certain things. But then again, that kind of leads me to think, what's the similarity or the differences to, say, Spotify or Pandora and those sorts of things?
Oh yeah, so in regards to Spotify and Pandora, we're not actually a music streaming company. So we don't have a large database of songs for people to play. The partnership that we did with the FMA, you know, they have the data set, they have the songs, and then we just apply our technology to be able to sort through it.
I see.
And that's kind of the predominant difference. I think, you know, I've a huge amount of respect for Spotify. You know, I'm excited for their public listing that they had recently, and I think the consumers really decided that music streaming, you know, is the predominant form of listening these days. And, you know, I stream music myself, you know, as a user. But I think in terms of, you know, that's a hard business to get into in terms of licensing and revenue. So we're almost a little bit more boring than that. We're more of a data and technology company than we are specifically a music streaming company.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
I'm just trying to think. All I would add that if anyone's interested or wants to hear more or wants to talk to me, they could go to our website, which is musio.com, which is musiio.com.
I suppose, yeah, it would be people within kind of music companies that you'd want to be getting in touch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, because we're such a new business, I'm always just sort of delighted and excited by the people that do get in touch. You know, sometimes it is artists, sometimes it's people who run their own radio shows. And, you know, talking to anyone in the industry, even including artists, really sort of gives me a really nice, well-rounded view of how our company's received. So, yeah, I love talking to anyone. I could obviously quite clearly talk music all day, every day.
In the future, would you be, you know, looking to turn it into something open for everybody?
Possibly, yeah. I would actually love to do that. I would really love, you know, to be able to create a tool that, you know, I have it in my mind, you know, almost a replica of, you know, having worked in the music industry for a long time, I get a lot of people contact me and they're like, can you listen to my band? And, you know, it's not really scalable, the amount of one-on-one requests that I get. But if I could build an AI that could, like, replicate my opinions, and then anyone could upload their music and get feedback from an AI acting as on my behalf, I think that would be super interesting. You know, that's just hypothetical. We're not currently building that. But I would actually, you know, in terms of, you know, once we get a full team and once we're fully funded, those are the kind of things, yeah, I would absolutely love to look at. You know, so benefits as many people as possible, for sure.
I guess then there's concerns about, you know, monopoly over, I don't know, going back to that first question, the sort of streamlining of certain music as opposed. Anyway, I'm rambling now. I will let you go.
I know what you mean, and I think it's one of those other things as well where you sort of think, will the tech be used in the right way? You know what I mean? Will it, you know, it should. You know, I fully intend and hope that it would find artists who don't have big marketing budgets and who are incredibly talented but perhaps not so great at selling themselves online. And, you know, those are the people that I really want it to discover. But I think, you know, as the tech unfolds, it's important to have kind of a core set of values and an intention for how you want it to be used. Because, you know, as we've seen in loads of other cases, you know, tech can get kind of out of hand. So, you know, I think it's important. And, you know, I hope that as someone who's worked in the music industry for a while, hopefully I'm best placed to kind of be the custodian of this in some way. I think it's an important question. You know, a lot of people are a little bit intimidated. You know, I've definitely spoken to artists and record labels alike who are a little bit kind of freaked out that we could build something that could do this. The technology's only been available for about the last 6 months. And, you know, it's right at the cutting edge of what's possible. And I think, you know, making sure that it's implemented in the right way. And, you know, I hope that it's, you know, abundantly clear as well that, you know, we in no way intend to replace any element of the existing industry. We're trying to augment it. We're trying to be a tool that helps people. But, you know, a lot of people that don't have so much experience in the music industry, you know, love to come out with flashy headlines, you know, we're going to get rid of this job, take over this. And I think that's not what the industry wants. And I think that's kind of not what's needed. So it's all about, yeah, being responsible with the technology as well. I think that's important.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time.
I have loved talking to you. I could talk about this all day, every day. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
No worries.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for the chat and have a good day.
Okay.
Thanks to Lillian for that interview. That's Hazel Savage.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.